Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. This is your show host, Randy Fine, and today is Free Advice Friday, the day that I take your calls and answer your questions. If you'd like to call in and talk to me, the number is 424-220-1801. That's 424-220-1801. If you call in, you can ask a question, you can make a comment, and you can share what you've learned with other people so that they may benefit. I have, in the past week, I started a new Facebook group. This Facebook group is exclusively for people who have come to me for counseling. And it is so they can mingle with each other, talk to each other, share feelings and experiences. The group is called Randy Fine's Private Counseling Group. And if you're thinking about counseling with me, once you do that, I will invite you into this group. Otherwise, it's private. So, but I wanted to let you know that it is available. So today, the topic that I think is important because it keeps coming up is how important self-love is in healing from narcissistic abuse. You know, not only is it important, but it is at the core of all healing from this kind of abuse. Without self-love, you cannot heal from this kind of abuse. And when I bring up self-love, for a lot of people, that's a very foreign concept. It is also one that makes them feel uncomfortable because when they think of self-love, they think of it being selfish. But self-love is not something that is selfish. Self-love is at the core of who each and every one of us are. So when we are abused and we are taught that we are worthless, we are programmed to believe that we should not care about ourselves, that we really only should care about our abuser. We learned that it's more important to take care of everyone else before we take care of ourselves. And generally, it's not even taking care of ourselves. We also learn that we are supposed to give, and not receive. Well, if you think about that, you can only, you know, picture a well full of water. If that well keeps giving and giving and giving water, but it never receives more, the well will empty out. And that's what happens with us, and that's why many of us are exhausted all the time. We're worn out, we're anxious, we're frustrated, we're depressed, we're exhausted, because we're giving out everything and taking in nothing. You know, no matter what your issue is, whether it be you can't get in touch with your feelings, you're angry, whatever it is, the first thing that you must do is get in touch with self-love. And it is to the point where you have to protect yourself at all cost. No matter what happens, you have got to come first. We have children, we have family members, we have obligations. Yes, these are very, very important priorities in our life. But we must come first. So, you know, if that feels weird to you, sounds weird to you, just understand that until you take care of you and make yourself a priority, when I say that, I mean that when people say things to you that are uncomfortable, when people do things that are uncomfortable, the first thing that should happen is you should say to yourself, this does or does not feel right, and I am not going to take it if it doesn't feel right. I am not going to take that in because I can't afford to sacrifice myself for just about anything that's out there. I have to protect and love myself first. And when you begin to do that, you will notice that your healing begins to pick up by leaps and bounds. And this is not only my opinion, this is what I see with the people that I work with. Once they get the concept of self-love, everything else follows, and the healing speeds up incredibly fast. So, learning to love ourselves involves a lot of things. It does not lessen our ability to love others, it increases it. And when you have more love for yourself, you have more love to give out. I know we hear this all the time, and I know it may not make sense to many of you if you have not embraced this concept. But if you were working with me on one-to-one, this is one of the things we would start on. So there are 7 components that are involved in building self-love. And they are, the first one is self-understanding. The second one is self-acceptance. The third one is self-appreciation. The fourth one is self-respect. The fifth one is self-forgiveness. The sixth one is self-protection. And the seventh one is self-pampering. This is in chapter 31 of my book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind. And it is part of building the inner experience. Because most of us who have been abused do not have anything to call on. No strength inside, no self-love, no self-appreciation, no boundaries. What we are running on is old messages that are playing in our head, things that have been told to us that are lies, lies, lies. They are false information. And we are replaying those records over and over and over in our heads, and we believe them. So we now have nothing inside to draw on. We just believe we are either failures, losers, or just here to serve. And that's absolutely not true. These are false messages that have been put in your mind by manipulators who have a very sick agenda. They are only trying to feed off of you. And so what they have to do is make you feel inferior, make you feel less than, so that you won't leave your abuser. And that's all this is. That's all these messages are, is to bring you down and take away your self-esteem and your ability to function as an individual. So you are allowed, not only are you allowed, it is your birthright to have self-love and self-esteem. And the reason that you don't have it is because people have put these messages into your head to take it away. The show today is a call-in show, and if you'd like to call in and share, the number to call is 424-220-1801. Call in and share your feelings and experiences. So under self-understanding, which I said is the first one, there are things like knowing what you like and don't like, knowing how you think and feel, knowing what fulfills you, knowing what you want and don't want, knowing why you act or react the way you do, knowing your vulnerabilities, knowing your emotional and physical limits. These are all things that are so important, and you have to tick away from them from the top all the way down and work through them. Knowing what you like and don't like, you know, that seems so obvious, but it's not for those who have been narcissistically abused. They have been told that what they like is not acceptable, and what they don't like is hurtful to other people. So we lose that ability to know these things, knowing how we think and feel. We've been told how we are supposed to think and feel, knowing what fulfills us. Well, we've never been allowed to have what fulfills us. So we forget these things. We have just stuffed these things down. Knowing what you want and don't want. This is based on what you want and don't want, not on what other people want or don't want from you. It's what you personally want and don't want. Why you act or react the way you do. So many people come to me and they say, I have anger problems. Well, you're reacting because your buttons are being pushed. But there's other things that you react to. But understand where that's coming from. Understand that often it's not you, but it's programming. Knowing your vulnerabilities. What are the things that you need to avoid or you need to be cautionary around because you're vulnerable to them and you stay away from those things? Knowing your emotional and physical limits, that's pretty obvious, but it's not tapping yourself out to the point where you have nothing left. We have a caller, and let me just take this call so we can see what our caller wants to share with us. Good morning. This is area code 850. Hi. Welcome to the show.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing great. So what is it you'd like to ask or share with us today?
I just had a comment. You know, I agree totally with you. Self-love should be at the top of your list. And it took me many years to figure that out, you know, because I let myself go for so long, and then, you know, I was like a train wreck, you know, just waiting to happen. You know, my marriage was suffering, I was suffering, I was just, you know, a constant jitterbug, you know. And then one day I just kind of had that aha moment where everything just clicked for me. You know, I just stood in front of the mirror one day and just kind of everything just came together for me. And I said, you know, how I let myself go. I was, you know, almost 100 pounds overweight. I wasn't sleeping. You know, just everything was out of whack for me. And so when I realized that I agree, you know, when how you react to things, you know, we've been, when we were, went through that like programming, and you have to constantly deprogram yourself from all the programming that you went through. And so when you understand what you went through, you know, kind of take that step back and you realize that everything that you, like you just said, everything that you were told was wrong because they were manipulating you, that's when you kind of can move forward. And when you look at things in a different view, you know, and you ask for help, you know, from yourself or someone, you know, when you really genuinely want to change and you know you've come to the point where you need help, that's, I think, when you can move forward.
Yeah, thank you for that confirmation, and I'm really glad that you found that to be true with yourself. And in the beginning, it was a very foreign concept to you, wasn't it?
Oh, of course, because, you know, you've been told things, you know, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're, you know, you know, those are the kind of things. But, I mean, you've been told things for so long that you really believe it. And then you view it from that angle, so now you're filled with rage, hate, anger, you know, whatever else. And so now you're kind of like, oh my gosh, what's happened to me? You know, I used to be this way and now I'm this way. And, you know, I have no friends and now I'm hidden away. You know, I lived my, you know, years in a house, you know, just, I didn't even go outside, you know? And then here I am, you know, 5 years later, you know, I'm down 125 pounds, you know, we're, you know, my marriage is back on track. We're happy. You know what I mean? So things are moving in a really good direction, you know? And so, but it takes that first step to admit that something's wrong. You know what I mean? Like, you have to say there is a problem, but you can't deny it. You know, you can't just, oh, it'll get better, because it won't. No. And then before you realize it, you know, 1 year, 2 year, 5 years, and then you look back and go, oh my gosh, what's going on? But seek help, you know, because when I was younger, when you would say, hey, there's a problem, you know what I mean? We don't have as many resources as today. So whoever needs help, ask for help, because, you know, there is somebody that really cares and that will help you.
Yeah, thank you for that. That's, you know, and I say this all the time. I also caution to be very careful with who you get to help you, because this concept of self-love first is not what you learn in psychotherapy. It is not what you learn. You learn that you have a part in this. You learn to recognize your responsibility in what happened to you.
Yes.
You learn that you need to make nice with the person who abused you. These are not loving things. And this is why so many people go to therapy and walk out and feel worse. You know, and I watch Dr. Phil all the time. I love Dr. Phil for so many things. But when he has a narcissistic abuse situation, I have to turn it off because I find myself totally stressed out. That's what he does to the victims. And he says to the family, this family can heal. Well, that's very frustrating to victims who pretty much know that they can't. So he's great at so many things. He's great at child abuse issues. He's, you know, he can really help people with addiction, but not with narcissistic abuse, and that is exactly what people experience. So I thank you for calling. This is it's wonderful to have that confirmed and for other people to hear how important this absolutely is. So thank you. Keep on listening. I've got some other callers.
I will. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, good morning. This is area code 347. Hi, how are you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing good.
Okay, really? Are you really doing good? You want to share good things or you need some help?
I was just listening in. I mean, and in the past I've had experience with narcissistic relationships, so I can relate to that. So saw it and I was listening to the show.
Okay. So you just really want to listen in today?
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. I just wanted to double check because when your number comes up, you could be calling to ask a question. So I'm going to put you back on hold and just keep listening. Okay. Good morning. We have another caller. Hi. How are you? I recognize this number. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I always look forward to your podcast every month. And anyway, I've been listening to, I think the first caller was, we were talking about self-love, but I think the main thing that we need to instill in people that we don't need to be validated by others.
Yes.
And I think that's the big thing that that builds the self-love, and it's easier to set boundaries. But I think I'm older, but my mother grew up in the greatest generation of World War II generation. I think that generation perpetuated this idea that we have to be impressing other people, we have to be validated, we have to worry about what they think. And my mother's narcissistic too. I don't have any more contact with her. But I think that's the biggest problem right there is learning that we don't have to be validated by others. It has a lot to
yes.
do with self-love.
It is so important. Now, in the beginning of the show, I talked about this new group that I have on Facebook. This is not a support group. It is and it isn't, okay? Because the bylaws of the group are such that we don't advise each other. I'm the only one that can give advice. We don't advise each other. We just share. So many people have asked me to put together support groups where they can get support from other people. I don't do it because what happens in most support groups is we learn to rely on other people for our validation. It's exactly what you just said. We have relied, as narcissistic abuse victims, survivors, we have relied on the validation of others our entire lives for the most part, or our entire relationships, or whatever it is that has thrown us into this, trauma.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We have to... The first step is getting in touch with self-love. And when you begin to feel that and understand that, there's an empowerment there. And we feel it's us against the world, and we feel like, you know what? I don't care who validates me because I love me, and nobody's going to ruin that. Nobody's going to destroy that. So as soon as you get that concept of self-love, you begin the self-validation.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a very good point that you made.
And I'd like to also add, during my growing up years, I grew up in a military family, and we lived in the UK for about 4 years. And this was one time I went to a British school, and I had made my own friends. My mother, my narc mother, could not really make any connections with that, and also I didn't really have many problems at that time. But I mean, that's where I laid the foundation for not needing validation, not needing and the idea of self-love. And then when I've had to deal with her later on, I thought to myself, gee, that I go back a long ways. I can deal with her now.
Well,
I don't need her approval.
Right. And we get very
strong. I've always mm-hmm. challenged her, and directly and indirectly, and she really could not make any connections with the people I hung out with at that time. There was nothing. But then once we got back to the States, then it was back to square one. But mm-hmm. still, in the back of my mind, I did not need validation from her. She didn't know what I knew.
Right. It's a wonderful thing when you can self-validate. There are many challenges in life beyond narcissistic abuse where people try to break you down. It's not just narcissistic abusers. It's just people who are insecure or don't love themselves will then try to break you down. Once you build this ability to self-validate, you can function in this world so much better, and you don't react. because you know you're okay. I get attacked quite often from people who tell me I'm crazy, I'm selfish, I'm this, I'm that, you know, I am exactly what I speak about. I'm a narcissist. You know, I have to have, I have to be able to self-validate and say no, you know, to myself. I don't say it to them because I don't need to prove it to anybody. But this is what comes with all of this, and I thank you for that support. I'm going to continue to talk a little more about the self-love, so I'm going to put you back on hold unless there was anything else that you felt
is
important.
Yeah, well, I think this may or may not, maybe a little bit off topic, I don't know, but anyway, there's a new book out that's called The Boy Crisis. I don't know whether you've heard about it, to the problem with raising boys today, and there are a lot of them that become narcissists. I think they become manipulators. I mean, just like women too. But the new boy about the boy crisis, how they're falling through the cracks. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to read it, and I'm waiting for it to arrive in my Kindle. I'm going to see what connections I can make with this.
Okay.
So I'm
okay.
kind of interested. I mean, raised a son as a single parent. Problem with fatherlessness.
Right.
And it really addresses it. I agree to a point, but I think there are a lot of single moms out there that do a pretty good job.
Yeah.
And so
awesome.
I've made a point.
Okay.
I think having the positive male role models that also work with the self-love and work with the self-love and not be needing to be validated. But it just, but again, I think also, I think a lot of it was this World War II generation, I think, perpetuated this having to impress others, too. I think it's a generation.
I agree. There's a lot that had to do with that generation. Also, the fact that soldiers were coming home with PTSD, and nobody knew what that was, and they were coming home to families, and families suffered because of that. So the fathers were angry. They didn't. People didn't understand why. They called it shell shock, but they didn't know what it was and how to treat it. So, there's a lot that happened in that generation that caused this narcissistic epidemic to begin. But I'm gonna thank you. I always appreciate your calls and your point of view.
Oh,
it's always
it.
Wonderful.
I enjoy it. I look forward
so keep
to
listening.
Your show every month.
Thanks. Keep listening. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So I had talked about the different, the seven different components of building self-love. The second one was self-acceptance. This is a big one. But, you know, I tell you to do this in a certain order in this book because it is, you have to tick away at all the little things. And then it gets easier as you go. But the second one is self-acceptance. Now, self-acceptance is about accepting your appearance. We've been told we're too fat, we're too thin, we're not pretty, we're not as pretty as our siblings, we're not as pretty as the other women, we're not this, we're not that. We have to accept our appearance. That's one of the first things under self-acceptance, no matter who we are. It is who we are. We are okay exactly the way we are. The second thing under self-acceptance is accepting your quirks, flaws, and faults. Okay, we all have them. Even the people out there that before we really get to the point where we start healing from this, we think everybody in the world's okay, and we're not. But everybody has quirks, flaws, and faults, and we need to embrace them because it is part of our personality. It is part of our spirit. It is who we are. Accepting your likes and dislikes. It is okay to like things that other people don't like, and it's okay to dislike things that other people like. You can be the only one. It is perfectly fine. That's what makes you unique and special. Accepting your opinions. The way you think, the way you feel about things is okay, unless you are hurting somebody. If you are out there with your opinions and trying to hurt people with it, that is not okay. But within yourself, you are absolutely entitled to have your opinions, no matter how popular or unpopular they are. Accepting that not everyone will like and accept you. Wow, this is a huge one for all of us, even those of us who have done a great deal of healing. It's something I believe we all struggle with. We have to remind ourselves that not everyone is going to like and accept us, and we don't have to give everything we have trying to make people do that. All we have to give is ourselves. And if that's not good enough, it's just not good enough. Too bad. Accept your vulnerabilities and accept your feelings and emotions. You know, what happens is we get depressed over what we've been through and the hurts and everything, and we start coming down on ourselves. Why am I always so bummed out? Why can't I go out and socialize? You know, why can't I function like other people? Why am I sad? Why am I anxious? And we start accusing ourselves of our feelings and emotions. We start knocking ourselves for having these things, when in fact it is the recognition and the acceptance of these things that begin to help us heal. We must accept them as they come up. We must look at them. We must sit with them and feel them. And that's the only way we can get them up and out, because they're buried layer upon layer upon layer inside of us. So as they arise, we have got to allow them and look at them and feel them and say, it's okay to feel sad today. I have every right to feel sad over, you know, what has gone on with me. It is okay. It's when you can look at and accept your feelings and emotions that they don't bother you anymore. They have to come out. They're waiting to be recognized. Then the next, the third component is self-appreciation, liking yourself, appreciating your body for all it does for you. I have to do this all the time, because I've suffered from chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia for so many years. And for so many years, I hated my body because of what it was doing to me. Now, if I get into that mindset, I say to myself, oh my gosh, look at this body you have. Look what it can do for you. Look how it's gotten you through life. No matter what it is, no matter how challenging it is the vessel that carries us through this life. So it's very important that we appreciate our body and all it does for us. Appreciate your unique gifts and talents. You have them. You may have forgotten about them, or you may not think you're good at these things anymore. But if these are things that attract you, if you love art or you love music, or you're great at math or you're athletic or any of these things, and you've squashed that part of you, allow it to emerge. It may not come right out, but understand that you have a particular talent or gift in this area. Let's see, admiring your good qualities. Focus on the things about you that are great. And if you can't remember or come to terms with those things that are great, ask people who love you. Ask friends. Ask your boyfriend, your spouse, your girlfriend. Ask them what they like about you. And then begin to write these things down. Why other people see you as good, what they really like about you. Connect with your inner spirit. You have one. If you didn't have an inner spirit, you would not have gotten this far. It's that little glimmer of hope that has carried you through all the trials and tribulations you've experienced in your life. It is your inner spirit, and it is there. And it may be a very faint little light, but there's a light. Pay attention to it. The light will get brighter and brighter and brighter, and then it will just emerge from you. appreciate your value to others and the world. You have value. Every one of us comes into this life with a purpose. And we don't always realize our purpose till we're older. Sometimes some people realize it when they're younger. Some people maybe 30, 40, 50, 60 before they realize their purpose. But it is okay because timing is everything. Allowing others to appreciate you, wow. That is hard for people who have codependent tendencies. I had a very hard time with allowing others to appreciate me. When they would compliment me or say something nice, I would deflect it and go back to them. Oh, you no, you look great today. I would never say, just say thank you. Because it felt weird to be appreciated. Okay, so then the fourth component, and like I said, this is all in my book. This is in chapter 31 of the book, Learning to Love Yourself. Okay, the fourth one is self-respect. This is about choosing to bring positive people and things into your life. You don't have to stay with people who are abusers, who are users. You need to filter these people out of your life and be with positive energy, positive things. All my friends for many years, all my friends, acquaintances, relationships were always people that had problems and were really beneath my intellectual level. But I didn't feel good enough to be with people that were of my level. And people just dumped on me all the time, and that's what I thought my job was, to be the dumping ground for everybody. I thought, I can handle this. They can dump on me. I'm fine. Meanwhile, I was not fine. Okay, taking care of your body and health. Our caller before, the gentleman, was talking about how he gained 100 pounds. You know, he was not taking care of his body and his health. So that is not respecting yourself. Taking responsibility for your actions. Being able to say no and set limits. There's a whole chapter in this book about how to say no. It seems so simple to some people and so just overwhelmingly hard to most of us to say no. But if we pay attention, we realize that everybody says no to us. And everybody always has a plan B when they ask you for something. And there's different ways that you, so you don't have to come out and actually say no, but you can say, you know, you can excuse yourself from a situation in a very nice way without just going, no. Okay, I'm going to go more quickly through this. Let's see. Staying centered, being authentic, being authentically you. Acting in your best interest, presenting the best version of you to the world. Don't go out into the world unless you can. Staying true to your morals and values, practicing gratitude. Always be grateful for the smallest things. I say thank you all day long for every little thing. I say thank you for parking spaces in crowded parking lots. I say thank you for everything. The more you say thank you, the more you're grateful for the good things in your life, the more good things will come into your life. Asserting your rights. Actually, on my website, there is I forget what it's called, but it's the rights that victims have. And what I'll do is, if you go to my website, I will repost it and I'll put it up at the top. So you can take a look at that, the self-rights, educating yourself. You have a right to educate yourself. This is self-respect. Learn. You don't have to stay down because you being down makes other people feel better about themselves. No, you have a right to grow and learn and rise above the people who are trying to hold you down. Okay, the next one, so we're almost out of time, but it's self-forgiveness is 5, self-protection, self-pampering. These are all the different ones. So if you haven't gotten a copy of my book yet, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, The Narcissistic Abuse Survivor's Guide to Healing and Recovery, I recommend this book to everybody because this is going to, I know, this is going to help you. This is my philosophy, and it works. It really works. So I urge you to go ahead and get a copy, and it's also available on Kindle. You can go on Amazon and get it either way. But you do want to read this book if you're hurting, because you will learn what's going on with you, and you will be given the tools to pull yourself out. You will always need support and validation from a professional, because if left to your own devices, your mind will go back to the old way of thinking. You are programmed to think a certain way. You need someone to constantly reinforce that that way of thinking is not helping you, and to give you a better way of thinking. I reinforce the same things over and over and over and over. I have tremendous patience because I know it took me a year to get this concept. And it was only because I had to have support every single week and somebody saying, no, the way you're thinking is not a healthy way to think. This is a better way to think. Eventually, most people don't take a year. I took a year. Most people, if they work with me, they usually take about 3 months, and then they begin to get it. So I work very quickly with people. But anyway, I really thank you. Thanks to all the callers who have tuned in to listen to Free Advice Friday and have contributed to the show. It's always wonderful to have your perspective. The next show, oh, where's my calendar? Okay, well, it's the second Friday of April. Same time, 11 a.m. Eastern time, and the call-in number will be 424-220-1801. And I urge you to call in, but if you don't want to, if you feel uncomfortable with a call-in, you can always email me your question at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. loveyourlife@randygfine.com. And just tell me you would like it answered on the next show, and I absolutely will do that, and I'll send you the link to the show in case you don't have time to listen to it live, and you'll get your answer, okay? So my goal here is to reach out to everyone and help you through the issues that you're having with this. I've been there. I know it. I know how painful and frustrating it is, and I don't want you to hurt. That's why I do what I do. I don't want you to hurt. And I know that if you work with me and you read my book, we can stop the hurting, okay? So that's my promise to you. Anyway, we are out of time for today's show. But like I said, next month, second Friday of the month, at 11 a.m. Eastern time, I will be back doing the show. I do shows at least once a week. I often have guests and everything. Many of them are great, and many of them do apply to narcissistic abuse issues. So not directly, but I always find an in there that I can sort of, bring that topic up and make it relate to the topic. So listen to the shows that I put out every week. They're always very, very good. So anyway, that's the end of the show. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.